Welcome to Unapologetically Asian, the place where we talk about navigating through adulthood as Asian Australians. Today you're joined by Tiana
and Grant Perez.
Grant Perez is a young, ultra-talented Filipino-Australian singer and songwriter who oozes old soul vibes and has a quirky authenticity about him. He first took the world by storm on YouTube, singing and playing the guitar, and has now garnered over 100 million views and 618,000 subscribers, 178,000 followers on Instagram, and 2.5 million monthly Spotify listeners. We are so excited because he's just also released an EP called When We Were Younger, which is a collection of music, each relating to figures of the past, whether it be in love, loss, families, and friendship. This man's is talented. He's got a smooth voice, a memey sense of humor, and infectious energy about him. This is such a fun episode. Meet Grant Perez.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show today. I hope you are enjoying your commute or you're sipping on a nice warm beverage because it is getting a bit cooler. hopefully you are starting or ending the day with good vibes only. Today we are joined by the vivacious Grant Perez. Clap him in, everybody.
Woo! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're too kind.
Thank you so much, Grant, for spending your Easter Monday with us.
Oh, of course.
Really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Honored and happy to be here.
So, Grant, to kick us off, we're gonna go real deep. Look, I don't mean to scare you, but we're getting into the nitty gritty of it.
Okay, I'm ready.
And okay, here's my first question for you. If you were a cocktail, what would you be and why? Okay.
Oh my god. Searching up cocktails.
He's doing a BuzzFeed quiz as we speak.
I feel like, because I'm not the biggest cocktail drinker per se. Is an espresso martini a cocktail? Is that a cocktail?
Espresso martini's a cocktail.
I'm gonna say espresso martini.
Ah, okay, nice.
Partially because that's probably one of the only cocktails that I've had in my life. As well as I feel like it gives you both sides of, you know, it gives you that awake hit with that espresso, you know, the espresso taste, but it also makes it a little bit drowsy with the alcohol. So I feel like, yeah, I play on both sides of that, you know.
So you're trying to tell us that, you know, you can be extroverted and energetic, but also you've got like a introverted, like mellow kind of side to you as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, see, we nailed it already. And I was going to say, I'm not going to lie, a little disappointed the ingredients of cherry wine and clementine weren't in the cocktail.
I know. What cocktail would actually have cherries and oranges in it? Would you know off the top of your head?
I'm not going to lie. She's not a bartender. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to think. It could be... We could make one up. I think this would be a great marketing opportunity for you. Like if we could make a cocktail and it would be the Grant Perez special. So it might be a new one.
It might be. I might have to look into that one. Could make quite a few bucks.
Yeah. A quick buck.
Oh, for real.
You know, now we've broken the ice. We've well and truly gotten, we've gotten deep. But let's go down to like the core ingredient, and I think that's going back to your roots, going back to your childhood. So tell us, what was it like to grow up as a Filipino Australian in Sydney?
Yeah, growing up as a Filipino Australian was kind of interesting because I feel like you're unaware of your heritage until you're about like mid-year high school when the stereotypes come in. I'm like, hey man, you need to chill out. You need to calm down. I didn't know anything about this, all right? as a kid, I was definitely surrounded by music. And I know that Filipinos love their romantic music. I grew up around Eagles and stuff, Eagles Bread, and a lot of Filipino artists like APO Hiking Society and a few others. So karaoke was always in the mix with aunties.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. I swear, people just love karaoke. Asian people love karaoke, and Filipinos are definitely pioneers of that as well. I think growing up Filipino is really, really interesting because I think we have a lot of energy to burn off because, you know, growing up playing basketball, watching boxing, like with Manny Pacquiao, he became, you know, the head of boxing for us and whatnot. But in terms of like meetings and just like, you know, gatherings and whatnot, it's huge. It's always so big with a lot of food. And I can say in some sense we, you know, I guess because of the food and stuff, because of history, we are a little bit Spanish in a way. So it's really, really versatile, I'd say. I'm still learning more and more about, you know, being Filipino as I'm choosing to be like more curious and more, you know, aware of what it means to be Filipino. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
No, I love that. I think a lot of people can relate to that, right? Like, and naturally, I guess as humans, we have this predisposition to kind of belong. And we think like that means that we have to really be in tune with like our Australian side. But I think what I've discovered as you get older, you have this desire to like, you know, discover your Asian side as well. And your like, you know, the motherland.
Yeah, yeah.
So have you been back to the Phils like recently, or how often do you go back?
I wish I could say I went recently. I think the last time I was there, I was 14 or so. I'm 21 now, so it's been quite a while.
Oh yeah.
I really, really want to go back though. And I think I might be in June, but I think that's a little secret. Who knows?
A bit of tea.
You heard it here first.
It's an unapologetically Asian exclusive, guys. Do you know how to speak Tagalog?
I can understand it. I've been making strides to learn it. I've been trying to get more comfortable with speaking it to my parents and whatnot. And they reply normally. They haven't made fun of me yet, so I'm okay. It seems like I'm making it so far. I wish I could. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. Good validation if your parents just reply.
How about you? What's your background?
So I'm Vietnamese. My parents are both Vietnamese. You spoke a bit before about like what you grew up listening to, and you kind of mentioned the Eagles. That's Hotel California, right? And
yeah, that is correct.
Yeah,
and the other one was Bread.
That's right. Yeah. I feel like Bread doesn't seem as common. Like, give us some cultural like lessons here about Bread.
Oh, Bread is actually from the future. No, Bread is is an American folk or soft rock group from America. They make some of my most favorite songs ever. One of which I consider to be the most perfect song ever made, in my opinion. It's called Make It With You. Make It With You by Bread. And it's just so smooth. It's so lovely and soft. If I were to relate it to anything, it's kind of like being drunk or being high without taking the substance type of thing.
It's like the euphoria, like,
yes, thank you,
like melancholy. That's kind of vibe. No, I get that. I get, there'll be times where I'm like, you know, it's like 12 a.m. or whatever. And, you know, it's not sad boy hours, but like it's almost. And then, you know, you're playing a song and you're like, wow, this has transported me to a period of time like a feeling that I didn't know I had. Like, you know, one of those songs.
I'll type it in here for you.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, no,
but there you go.
We've broken the fourth wall.
We have. Where are we?
That's okay. It'll be homework. Okay. Everyone out there, go listen to Make It With You by Bread. So you said that, like, you know, you grew up with these bands. Do you think like they influenced your sound? Like, how would you describe, I guess, to someone who's listening? Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people that know you and know your music, but, you know, let's just say, Grant, that it's the year 2000 and, you know, 2096.
Whoa.
2096. Oh, I feel like that might year 3000. Let's go there. Let's just say it's the year 3000, and you know, aliens have come to Earth. They're friendly. We've made human contact with them, and you say, "Hey guys, what's up? It's Grant Perez." They go, okay, give me the lowdown. Like, what are you all about? And you say, you know what? I'm a musician. You know, I've got music. And they go, okay, describe your sound. What are you going to say to them?
I'll be like, have you ever heard a sound that makes you go, oh, yeah, that's smooth. That's me. That's the music I made. I'd like
He's
to think.
Smooth. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I'd say, wow, this song, this music is so smooth, but yet I feel like moving my body.
Yeah.
That's where I come in. Hey, my name's Graham Perez. Nice to meet you.
He's smooth in the literal sense as well as the other sense. Look at this. This isn't him being smooth. This is Grant with Riz. Grant's got a bit of Riz there. The aliens are going to be like, oh my God, can't handle the Riz. Like, it's
like... oh my gosh. When the Riz thing was like at its peak, I was getting comments like, Grant Perez, Grant Perez. Yes, yes, that's me.
Thanks, Mom and Dad, for the last name. Yeah. Out of your discography of songs, like, what are you going to recommend people? Like, what are the three songs? You're like, okay, this is me.
Off the top of my head, I'd go with Only About Love, Clementine.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into a song that's unreleased. It's called I'll go for When We Were Younger. That's okay. An unreleased one that's coming out in June. So,
Hint. Yeah. Are you releasing it as a as a single or in an EP or?
It'll come out in an EP. Ooh. Yes. Oh, wow.
He's dropping so much gossip.
Yeah. You heard it here first on Unapologetically Asian.
Love it. Oh, no, that's so exciting. I had, I did a bit of research, as you do, and I was looking at, where you get your inspiration from, and I saw that with Clementine, you drew a lot of that from the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is a great movie, and I think you spoke a lot about, the feeling or, I guess, that sense of melancholy that you feel, and you translated that into your lyrics.
Yeah.
When it comes to the whole songwriting process or when it comes to you putting these narratives and things together, where does your inspiration come from? What are the artists or what are the, pop culture movies and songs and whatever? Where do you get your inspiration from?
Yeah, I'd say that a lot of my music definitely comes through other people's stories. Like, I feel like I live a lot of my life through other people. Especially being the youngest child of the family, I've learned through their troubles and their mistakes and whatnot, and I've absorbed that into myself. I feel like I do quite a little bit of the same within the music. Like if I were to, be there to have someone vent to me about their relationship or just friendships or hardships and whatnot in general. I'll be there to listen, and I wouldn't directly rip that story and be like, hey, yo, I'm just gonna write this down. I just kind of absorb the feeling that I get from that and, put that into words in a way. And with some of these songs, I do ask for help and I'm just like, yo, can somebody help me finish this song and whatnot? So sometimes I'm with another writer or whatever. But a lot of the time, it is driven through other stories, through movies, for example. One of my favorite rom-coms is 50 First Dates.
Oh, yes.
I don't believe I've written a song on that just yet, but... I think the quirkiness of those movies come into play with who I am in a way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, a lot of my past has to do with currently where I am, right now, if that ties into the question. I think it does.
No, of course. I was going to say, 10 Second Tom. Maybe your next song is going to be about 10 Second Tom.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
I haven't seen that movie in ages as well, actually, but it is a classic. I do like what you said about how you describe the movie as quirky, and I think that is something that's very unique but also very endearing about you, and I think is why you've got such a loyal fan base, is because you come across as very authentic and you're just very unapologetically Grant.
Yeah, thank you.
You have this personality that shines through your music. And I think that's what a lot of people gravitate towards. I think that's what these days people are more drawn to, that it's not just you can be talented, but then also it's who are you as a person, and showing that as well, which I think is cool. So you're doing awesome job there. Yeah.
Thank you. I like to think so. Yeah. It's definitely something that I've learned to build up, as I'm growing up. And I guess the personal mistakes that you make and whatnot definitely build up character, the people you hang out with. Really just, there's a lot of factors that come into who you are. So I think what I'm trying to do is just really showcase to, the people that listen to me that, you can properly accept who you are as a person in a way.
Yeah. Okay, so we did speak about some of the music that you do enjoy listening to. If you had a choice of picking, like, who you really wanted to collaborate with on a record, who are some people that come to mind that are like, oh, that is your dream?
One of the people that I feel like got me into music, like into songwriting, would be Rex. Rex Orange County would be a cool one to get into.
Yes.
I feel like Men I Trust would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Leifei, which is another Asian artist. She's cool. And maybe, I feel like Tyler and I, you know, we could be, Tyler the creator. Yeah, I feel like he could be really cool. Yeah, if I were to tie it into five, yeah.
Well, we'll make it happen. We'll manifest it. We're saying it out loud now. It's going to happen.
I'll light some candles. Yeah.
We'll summon some, you know. I don't know. Is that how they do it? They get the, you know, the boards out. We'll start reading cards.
I have no idea. I don't want to mess with anything.
I know. It sounds like a horror movie. I'm not going to lie. It sounds a little scary. So
yeah.
But the universe is listening, and hopefully we'll make it happen in the future.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. I do have a confession to make. I love ASMR. Do you like ASMR?
Yes. I think it's pretty good. Yeah.
Nice. Because a lot of the time I tell people are like, oh my God, Tiana, it's a little weird. And I'm like, you know what? It's a way for me to de-stress.
What ASMR do you listen to? Because I've seen ones where this is when ASMR was like at its peak. I remember searching through it, and there's this one where it's like Jimin from BTS wakes you up in the middle of the night because you can't sleep, and it's like, I can't sleep. And I'm like,
look, no, it's not that specifically.
Okay.
But I'm not going to lie. The role play, it can work.
Yeah.
So guys, I know this is exposing me so hard. Like, I'm just gonna say it. Like, yes, when I hear people whisper, I'm like, okay, this is actually not. And it'll be something. It'll be like, you know. Anyway, where I'm going with this is Grant, because I promise it relates. Grant, I know you. Actually, one of the ways that I kind of discovered you was on your YouTube series, "Sing Me to Sleep." Which throwback on your YouTube. That's kind of like how you made your start, right? Like just putting all of your covers onto YouTube. And Grant has his awesome Sing You to Sleep series where like he'd cover a bunch, like some artists, and like just sing it in a way that's very calming and soothing. Mm-hmm. And it really like, it does like put you to sleep. So where I'm going with this is, I think a lot of like when I was looking through the comments, a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this is so soothing. Like this is so comforting. Like, oh my gosh, I needed this in like a time of need.
Right.
So like who do you listen to? What do you listen to when you need to like chill out, de-stress, your time of need?
When it's late at night and my sister, the room next to me, is playing games till 3 a.m. I can hear her talking. I listen to a lot of thunder. You know, like, just like, you know, like rain and thunder.
Yes.
So it's like, you're like, yeah. It's beautiful. Maybe sometimes, you know, a little bit of air conditioner on low setting on Spotify.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You know what I mean?
Look, I was expecting you to name drop some people, but no, it's nature. It's the thunder.
Oh my gosh. Wait, coming back to that. Okay. So if coming into music, Men I Trust definitely makes me chill. Bread makes me chill. I think sometimes if I'm having, you know, little doses of anxiety, I go through my, I have like a playlist that, you know, when I was like a kid. So these are just music that, you know, just make me feel, you know, nostalgic in a way. So I have like, You Get What You Give, which is the, you only get what you give. One dance left.
Yeah.
That's from that. Yeah. New Radical, Send Me On My Way, which is the On My Way.
Yes.
Dancing in the Moonlight. I have Let Me Hold You by Bow Wow and Omarion in there. I have Suddenly I See, How Do I Breathe, Can't Help But Wait, Cater to You. So that stuff.
It's like a 2000s rom-com, I feel.
Yeah. So I have those when I have like little doses of anxiety and stuff. But here's a little tip for plane rides, because I recently came off like a 24-hour flight because of the UK, and I'm not bothered to watch movies. I don't know why. I don't know if it's ADHD and my attention span just doesn't want to watch a movie. Watch all of David Attenborough's documentaries, like all of them. They're so good. Well, first of all, if you want to stay awake, you're learning something, because it's all about nature, environment, and you know what we can do to help the environment and whatnot, minimizing the waste and stuff. And if you want to learn about animals, you can do that as well. But if you want to go to sleep, imagine this, listen to the baby reptile goes into the wild, and I'm like,
I'm impressed. That was really good. That was a very good. I've tried to do a David Attenborough impersonation before, but you nailed that. That's very good.
Do it. Go.
The baby giraffe.
That's good.
Look, you know, we'll stick to our day job. You were in the UK recently. Tell us about that.
It was good. It was very, very nice this time around, I'd say, because I got to hang out with a few people my age, not just my age, but also Filipino as well, which was really, really rare to do on like a work trip type of thing, to actually like hang out and stuff. I even hung out with this Asian actor / musician. He plays for this duo with him and his sister called Weijia Project, or just Weijia. And he's also one of the, you know, main actors from a show called Hot Stoppers. William Gao. So it was really cool. I got to hang out with him, and we watched the Rex Orange County concert and stuff. But it was good. I got to make a lot of like sick music. The scenery in the UK is always, always lovely. Getting around there is really, really good. Highly recommend visiting the UK as well as Europe if you haven't.
You've got like an upcoming tour in the US, I believe.
So this will be my first time touring in the US. So it'll be really, really exciting. But from what I can say, touring in general already, the travel can take quite a bit out of you. You don't realize how important getting rest is until, like, you know, finishing off a show at 12 a.m., getting to your, you know, your suite at like 1 a.m. and then waking up at 3:30 to catch the flight at 6 type of thing. So that definitely takes quite a bit out of you. In terms of people, I don't think I could ever get tired of the people that talk to me and come up and, you know, watch my shows. I really, really love the energy that they emit. You know, seeing them awake makes me feel awake in a way. So I think it's like a win-win situation.
It's like the perfect cure for, you know, jet lag is when you're on stage and you've got that energy and you're absorbing everyone's energy, right?
Yeah.
You've mentioned before that like you kind of, so this is your first time in the US, but you've been like to the UK for some shows. And I think you've also been like in Australia. What are the fans like? Like, can you give us, you know, is there a particular trait, like depending on where you are in the world? Or are they like largely the same?
There's definitely similarities between the few. I think the rowdiest crowd that I had was Canada. So there's like a ratio of rowdiness and blah blah blah. I don't know what the other side would be. So when I played Vancouver, they were like off the walls. Like I remember I peeked my head out one time to watch the opening act that was performing. And then someone saw me in the door, like right next to them, and they're like, oh my god! Oh my god! And that whole crowd next was just like, come back, because they closed the door as soon as they saw me. I usually like to go into the crowd, and I still did that night because I was like, yeah, fuck it, yeah, why not? So I'm usually okay with like crowd audiences, but apparently people were saying that they were recording that door for like the next 10 minutes, and I didn't even like, I had no plans to go back to the recording. And they're like, come back. So Canada was definitely wild. Australia's characteristics is it's awesome. I feel like it's very much of, you know, because, you know, being raised in Australia, it's kind of like what I expect in a way, where it's like rowdy. They'll respond to, you know, can I get a blah, 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 sing along to this, blah, 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 blah. And they'll just sweat their heart out. So Australia, like Sydney and whatnot, hometown, I definitely feel the love there. In Europe, it's really, really interesting, especially like with having, you know, different languages at bay this time to account for. I feel like it feels very, very special for them to like love my music, even though, you know, per se, it's like a different language in a way. So I think in that way, I feel like when performing in Europe, it's a very quirky audience. Like they're very energetic. I think it's a surprise to see to them how energetic the performance actually is. So then they're like, oh my God, I should move. And I was like, yeah, you guys feel free, move. Yeah.
Oh, isn't that beautiful though, that like it doesn't really matter your cultural background, like music transcends all of that. Like, doesn't it make you feel so special that you might be writing a song in English, yet people from different parts of the world can derive the same meaning or the same energy from your music and your lyrics? Like, I feel like that's incredible, because not only are you like a performer, a singer, but you also like, you're telling a story when you're on the stage, right?
Yeah, definitely. I try to convey who I am and just encourage people to just feel comfortable, do whatever you want. If you're being respectful, you're not really hurting anyone, then by all means, have fun. But yeah, in a way, that kind of makes me feel selfish in a way, because I wish I could learn more of those languages, or I wish I could find a way to communicate to them rather than, you know, I know that English is the norm for, you know, countries to learn as a secondary or a main language. But in a way, I want to be able to communicate to you guys in a way, you know. Yeah.
Well, there's some homework for you. I guess you just have to learn a gajillion languages.
A little tough, yeah.
Or you can't perform in those countries anymore, you know?
Yeah, I know. Just kick me out if I can't do it. Yeah.
It's quite common at shows. The artist usually comes out with an encore, like to really rev everyone up again, or people are like, one more song, like give me that one more song. If it was like the end, like I keep going back to like a very dystopian world, I feel like that is the theme that I'm channeling. But if it was like the last day on Earth in the universe and you had to perform one last song, you come back out, everyone's clapping, what are you performing for everyone?
Oh, I can see like a super, super dystopic, melancholy like ending. I definitely feel like I would have to end it with Cherry Wine. There's something so poetic and, you know, artistic, you know, in a way, of celebrating and dancing to the end of the world. Like, it's really, really sad.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's a perfect way though to describe like the end of a concert, because it's like this feeling where you're like, you know, whether you're in the mosh or in the seats, you're like, this has been the best night ever. But then you know that it's going to end soon, and you know that you're going to have like that post concert depression, PCD. I don't know if you've ever had that. But then you're like, oh shit. So you just got to like relish in the moment. And I'm sure like, yeah, a lot of people feel like that when they are at your concerts and stuff as well.
I hope so. That'd be good. Yeah.
When have you felt that at a concert?
So I'm actually a complete noob when it comes to concerts. The first festival I went to was my own.
No.
The first festival I went to, I played at. I think one of the first shows ever I went to was Rich Brian. But I'd say recently when I watched Rex Orange County, there's a few moments where his song started to hit differently. Not the same anymore, hit differently just because of like career and whatnot. But yeah, his encore was crazy, because it started to slowly seep into me like the reasons why I started doing music in a way. And I was like, damn, I'm getting emotional right now. Oh, like, why?
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
There's definitely moments like that, and I was like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to business, I guess. Yeah.
If we're looking back at your journey, like, what are the reasons why you started music? Like, when did you know that you were actually good at singing? Was it something that, like, your family? Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, there's always been times where you're singing and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I sound all right. And then I record myself and I'm like, actually, no. I don't. But when did you grow that sense of, okay, I'm actually pretty good at this, or I enjoy this?
So I've been singing since I was like a kid, because my siblings, there's videos of me on YouTube when I was like 5 years old, actually. So that's a little homework for you.
Oh, okay. More homework.
yeah. So we used to like record covers together and stuff, and they always encouraged me to sing and whatnot. But they always said I had a unique voice, and I never really understood what that meant. But as I kept singing and whatnot, people would, you know, agree on the same things, like, oh, I have a act for singing, and I can, you know, I have a vibrato, I can sing, and blah 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 blah. So I guess I've always had that within me, and I'm just like, okay, singing is a fun thing. I guess it wasn't until I started doing YouTube and I was like, oh, I could potentially make money out of this and make a career out of it. Oh, and I think it was once I started getting over what I sound like stopped critiquing myself in the ways that didn't matter. Because if I want people to hear my voice, I have to accept what I sound like. I can't sound like Bruno Mars, or I can't sound like, I don't know, Post Malone, because that's, you know, it's out of it. So I just accepted what I sound like, and worked with what I had. And I guess I turned, you know, I turned it into this. I started songwriting when I was like 17.
Damn.
So yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're so talented at such a young age. Like, how do you keep yourself grounded? Because you're so young and you've kind of skyrocketed. You've amassed a following and you're experiencing a lot of success in your career right now.
I've given a few passes to my friends where it's just like, if I ever feel like an asshole, feel free to just like punch me, you know? Because I would never want to be like that.
Yeah.
I'd say surrounding yourself around good people and the same, you know, people that you really, really connect with. You know, not for like status or anything, but just because you genuinely enjoy their company. I'm sure that my parents wouldn't let me, you know, be, you know, get ahead of myself in a way. A lot of mental stuff. My girlfriend definitely helps me with that. Yeah. So my girlfriend, yeah, she's very, very supportive in that sense. But even still, I feel like my audience as well, they don't really make me feel like I should be different or I should be someone else. I feel like they also encourage me to be myself. So it's kind of like a double-double.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a mix of things.
What has been that moment where you're like, Mom, look at me, like, get the camera, like, holy shit, I did this. What has been, I guess, your proudest moment in your career to date?
I'm really bad at that. I'm really bad at giving myself like a pat on the back. I know what I can do. Like, I know what I can do and stuff. I'd say one of the proudest moments was doing, School of Rock,
yes,
for Like a Virgin. Cause that's been a dream of mine since I was like, in year seven. When I told my teacher, I was like, yo, can I do this for the high school, you know, performance? And they're like, no, you guys aren't talented enough. Not yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, fair. So I think that's definitely one of those. And just playing one of my first shows ever, like the festival show, I'm actually on a stage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I'm doing something that's in front of real people. Because apart from that, it was just YouTube and Twitch and stuff. So I think that was already a big accomplishment.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And you know what? I feel like a lot of the time growing up in an Asian household, we're kind of conditioned to be quiet achievers. Like when we do something, it's kind of like, okay, well, don't, you know, you don't have to boast about it. Like,
yeah.
You get that vibe, right? Is where it's like, okay, yeah. All right, Grant, yes, you performed a sold out show. Like, let's not toot your own horn.
Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely that sense of, I did this really cool thing. And then parents are like, cool, let's have dinner at home tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what do you want to do? You want to go out? You want to spend money? Why do you want to spend money for it? Yeah.
If you're craving a sweet treat or refreshing dessert, our longtime friends at Scoopy, Melbourne's favorite bingsu joint, are offering you lovely listeners a delicious 15% off your order when you use the code UA15. You can use this when you buy takeaway or in person at their Melbourne CBD and Gwen Waverley stores. The offer is subject to change, so be sure to tune into our episodes weekly for the fresh deal. Thanks so much, Scoopy. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah, so I'd say this is something that's overlooked quite a bit within the music industry and just like touring in general and whatnot. Is that especially, I think, because being so young in the industry, like being 21, a lot of the people that you work with are like 30 plus. That doesn't go into saying that I'm unfamiliar with hanging out and I don't want to hang out with them. Like my siblings are 32, 29 type of thing. But sometimes I do want to hang out with people that are, you know, that are like me. I want to hang out with people that are my age. And I think coming with that, I didn't realize how important it was to be Filipino until I was deprived of Filipino people and Asian people in general. Mm-hmm. And I was messaging my girlfriend about this and I was like, where are my people? I want to hang out with my people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's just certain things, there's certain chemistries that just click,
yes,
with other Asian people or other Filipino people. And, you know, it doesn't go, I don't mean for that to sound like, oh, when I'm not around Asian people, I don't want to talk to you. Yeah. You know what, yeah, I mean? It's just very healthy,
yeah,
to get back in touch with your roots.
No, definitely. I completely relate to that. Like, it's just easier.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like over explain yourself constantly about certain things, like about how you grew up,
yeah,
or about like, you know, that you only eat a certain food or whatever, like these small things that make you so uniquely Asian, mm-hmm, or unapologetically Asian. Like,
but it's really, really cool. And I think what you have here in this podcast is really, really wholesome. It's very, very right. You know, it's very, yeah, I really, really like it a lot.
Thank you.
I think it makes me think about things about my heritage
in, yeah,
a new light. And I'm sure other people listening would feel,
aww,
the same.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm blushing. I'm kidding.
Yeah, sorry.
so you've hung out with these people, you felt really cool, like you found your tribe in a way. What is the industry like? Because I think if we look at like something that we've kind of explored before is like TV, media, movies, that type of thing, right? Like when you turn on the TV, usually more often than not, it's like a white person who's like delivering the news. Or if you turn on the radio, more often than not, it's like a white person like talking. What is the music industry like, especially in Australia? Do you think that it's diverse? Do you think that there's like room for growth, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's definitely room for growth in the creative industry, especially like with music. Very, very much so. I come from Western Sydney, so which is a pretty far ways off away from the city. It's called Mount Druitt. It was on the TV show called Struggle Street.
I'm just gonna nod.
So I'm from Western Sydney, and when I have to go for like music sessions and stuff, I often have to go all the way into the city and whatnot. So there's definitely room for growth there. But I guess with Australia's limited population size, a lot of the industry is predominantly white, with a few mixes here and there. In terms of like, if I'm performing and whatnot, and like the stage hands and whatnot, it's predominantly like white.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting.
I'd love to see, I know that there is a surge of females coming into the industry, which I'm really, really happy about. In Australia in particular, it is kind of hard in a way when it comes to diversity, even with an artist as well. There's not a lot of Asian artists out there. When I'm doing a festival show, rarely is there someone Asian. There are a few people of color, which is really, really sick. I that's definitely really, really important. Not only that, it's also keeping artists in Australia as well, because I know that a lot of artists, when they move, when they get big, they opt to move out to LA just because of opportunities and whatnot, and the UK. But why not build more opportunities here in a way? I mean, easier said than done with a lot of things. But I'd love for there to be more hold within Australia. I definitely want to live here. I want to stay here.
I was going to say, you're going to make the move. But yeah, no, it sounds like you're pretty set on being in Australia. Yeah. But that's so true though. Like a lot of like, I guess even with Hollywood, the LA record studios and everything like that, they're all over there. So yeah, it's kind of tricky, I guess, from a geographical standpoint. But I do agree. I think Australia has some really good music. So, guys, get out there and like support your artists, like support Grant, stream him. Like where can everyone find you?
Pretty much on any streaming platform, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, YouTube, you name it. I'm there. You can even, if you're into art and drawing and stuff, these paintings are also mine as well. I do drawing and whatnot.
Oh my goodness.
So if music isn't your cup of tea, follow my art page on my Instagram at Grantis Palentis.
What the heck? You're so talented. Can you like give me some of your talent? Like what's going on here? Can you give me some eventually, please? Because, just radio itself. Yeah.
No, manifested.
Oh, like if you thought he wasn't any more damn talented, he's a singer, he's a writer, he's a artist, everything in between. Very, very good. Grant, thank you so much. We have one last question, and this underpins the heart and soul of the podcast, which is what makes you unapologetically Asian?
I'd say that what makes me unapologetically Asian would definitely have to derive from that Filipino side of me, the fact that I love dinuguan, which is like pig's blood in like this like weird dish. And I love dishes that don't conventionally look nice, but taste really, really good. I love my karaoke. I love, expressing that I want to speak the language. I want to, I feel like those things in a way just make me unapologetically Asian.
Oh, thank you so much, Grant. We really appreciate your time and we look forward to seeing what you get up to next. We also like put a section of the podcast where you plug in your handles or any projects that you have coming up.
Mm-hmm. What's up, guys? My name is... For me, as Grant Perez, I will be looking into dropping my new EP in June. One of the next songs coming out when the day is done will be right around the corner, followed by a music video as well as a visualizer. I'll be touring America quite a bit, a little secret performance in Philippines.
Ooh.
and hopefully an album in 2024. But till then, I guess that's a secret. Oh, and a little fun fact about me. I really, really want to try and start like a little clothes line or just like some sort of design line in the future. I'm not saying the name just yet, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh my God, that's so freaking exciting. I can see that. I can see that. So moving on to recommendations, this is the segment where we talk all about the books, movies, TV shows, food, and random shit that we have been enjoying. Grant, we'll throw over to you. What are you recommending for the listeners this week?
Coming back to that whole David Attenborough thing, there's this documentary called The Earthshot Prize. So it's a series, but the Earthshot Prize is basically, I think the British government gifts someone £1 million to someone who's actively trying to, you know, better the environment and whatnot. And I'm trying to do that, but I know I'm not going to get the prize because I don't have no program going on. But the first episode of the Earthshot Prize was insane. They talked about waste and stuff. Sorry to end off on a depressing note. It's just been in my mind.
Go for it, yeah.
And apparently the world produces more than 100 million tons of waste a year. The number could be bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that goes into Africa and India and whatnot. And they have a really, really awesome way of, you know, turning that junk into, you know, stuff that's useful. But in the end, we produce way more than we can actually, you know, make use of. So Earthshot Prize is really, really good. It's helped me be a little bit more waste conscious and like, you know, where I get what I get and stuff. So yeah, definitely recommend that. So
damn, you seem so like woke with like this. Oh, you seem very passionate about this environmental issue. Yeah. Has this always been something that you were like,
no,
not really?
Yeah.
I used to litter.
I never really like threw shit out of the window per se and stuff, but like I used to just like, you know, throw crap, whatever. I've been trying to, everything is easier said than done. I've been trying to find ways to repurpose my old clothes, like make bags out of them and whatnot.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
But being in an Asian family, it's a little bit hard because you can't really convince your parents. Just like, hey, do you ever think about where your waste is going? They're not going to think about that. You know,
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
So it's a recent thought. I mean, it's a thought that's been lingering because I know what pollution is and whatnot. But I think after seeing that, it's definitely switched in my brain. I'm just like, wow, we might actually not live for a long time. So we gotta think of something. But yeah, it's really hard because especially with clothes and stuff, like I don't blame people for buying what they buy because it's some good shit. Some of the stuff is really, really nice. It's just the fact that these companies sometimes overproduce like crazy. The stuff, most of this stuff is just waste anyway. It's kind of like, oh man, like we could have limited that at the source in a way. And I'm still pretty ill-educated on the whole scenario and whatnot, but it's something that I do want to learn more about, and I do want to encourage other people to just be aware of. Like when I walk my dog in the morning, I kind of want to bring a bag with me and like pick up just rubbish in my local area. I haven't started just yet, but I do want to do it.
Yeah, well, the intention is there.
Yeah, I mean, it is, yeah.
Another juicy drop of the tea with Grant Perez. No, that, you know what, a lot of respect for that because I feel like you're using your platform for good, right? And you know, you're not an expert on it, but you're learning and you're taking people on that journey with you. Mm. And I think that's how it starts, right? Like having those conversations with people and being like, hey, man, it's not cool that you just drop your rubbish, put it in the bin, you know? So no, that's sick. You know, my recommendation, look, it's a little different to yours.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. What the heck? Don't be, take that back. We're called unapologetically Asian, not sorry Asian.
Oh, true. You're right. I'll take it back.
I'm kidding. So I have recently been trying to find a way to keep active or fit that is not boring. And that is something that I will actually foster like a healthy habit with. Because to be honest with you, it's like so easy to just sit on my, you know, couch and just be a couch potato, which I love. Mm. I still think that's awesome to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, Deanna, like this year, like how can you be a bit more active? What can you do? I decided to go to Muay Thai and give that a go. Yeah.
let's spar right now.
All right. Get your hands up. Get your hands up. Get your paws up.
How long have you been doing it for?
Okay, I've done like 4 lessons, Grant. Like, let's just relax a little. 4 lessons.
Keep the fire. Keep the fire burning. I feel like that's it's easy to start it, hard to keep going.
It is. But I went to my first class. I dragged my mate John Doe. Shout out John. I dragged him to a class. It was very intense. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it was super intense. But I really enjoyed like the burn I felt afterwards, and I thought it was like what I love about it is the community vibe, because like you meet so many awesome people. And then at the end of the class, you did this really cute thing where you like bow and you say thank you or good job to everyone in the class. And I just think it's just such a beautiful community. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I really want to be a part of this. So and shout out to Lilia as well. I dragged her to a class, but it's definitely something that I want to keep continuing, and hopefully I do. So I'm just saying it out loud now so that you guys can hold me accountable. So if I but yeah. Then you'll be like, oh, Tiana, you said this one thing. But yeah, Muay Thai, I've been doing it at this place called Sukari Gym, which is like a Muay Thai place in Preston in the northern suburbs. But yeah, it's really good workout. It's really fun.
Really?
And yeah. And you use all parts of your body. And I really loved the community there. Like, they're just so lovely, so welcoming. And even though I'm a beginner, I'm a noob, I'm like pretty shit, they still like were very patient with me and like, okay, we got to fix these kicks, you know, girl. And like, that was really nice. So I highly recommend, you know, join a class or like try something new, you know, and get out there, and you meet so many people as well. So definitely recommend. But yes, on that note, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Unapologetically Asian. If you like what you listen to, you can support us by following or subscribing to us on your favorite podcasting platform. If you could leave us a rating or review, that would really help us out. We're also on Instagram at UnapologeticallyAZN. Give us a follow there to keep up to date with us. But thank you so much, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Awesome.
That was so good. That was very, very entertaining. Yeah, thank you for having me.